Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and He has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will have the fifth class of the spiritual clinic, and actually it is the second class related to Allah's mercy. And the class of today, inshallah, will be related to the stories of the Quran, which are proving that the mercy of Allah can solve the great disasters. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about Allah's mercy. And inshallah, in the class today, we will learn about Allah's mercy as mentioned in the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, we will learn a story to prove that Allah's mercy is the source of the all worldly blessings. And also it is Allah's mercy is the way, is the source of the having the paradise as the final destination, inshallah. And number three, we will learn stories from the Quran, stories of the prophets, which will prove that Allah's mercy at the times of hardship and trials can solve all the difficulties. First, inshallah, today we will start with the Allah's mercy as mentioned in the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah created his creation, he wrote in a book which he keeps with him above the throne, my mercy oversteps my anger. Actually, this is a glad tidings to all the human beings regarding the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that his mercy oversteps his anger. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah created the heavens and the earth, he also created 100 mercies. Each one of them filled the space between the heavens and the earth. He placed one mercy on earth. It is through this one mercy that the mother is compassionate to her baby, and so are wild beasts and birds. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will complement this with this. Allah will complement the 99 parts of His mercy with this one mercy. Actually, this hadith is an inspiration description by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, this hadith makes it easy for the human mind to visualize the extent of Allah's mercy. We need only to reflect on how mothers are so kind to their babies, and actually how they have the sympathy and kindness to their children. Actually, if we try to reflect on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one part of the 100 mercies which Allah has, and we try to reflect how this one part of mercy of Allah is from which the mothers, all the mothers from the Prophet Adam alayhi salam until the Day of Judgment, all the mothers are showing their sympathy and kindness and love and care for their kids. All this kindness and sympathy and love and care and forgiveness and tolerance which the mothers are showing to their kids, all the mothers on the earth until the Day of Judgment, all this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, if we remember about verse number 21 from Surah Ar-Rum, Surah number 30, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And among his signs is that he created for you wives from among yourselves, that you may find repose in them. And he has put between you affection and mercy. Verily, in that are indeed signs for a people who reflect.
Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying in this verse that there is mercy and affection between every husband and wife. This mercy between the spouses is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is one part of the 100 parts of the mercy of our Lord the Almighty. So actually, every husband and wife has to remember that there is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between both of them. And it is the duty of every one of them to keep this mercy of Allah, because this mercy of Allah is the source of the happiness, tranquility, love and care between both of them. It is the will of Allah to put the mercy between the hearts of the two spouses so that inshallah they will live a happy, successful marriage life. Let every one of us always remember that fact. There is a mercy between you and your husband and you and your wife. Try to live that mercy, try to feel that mercy, so that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the marriage life of every one of us a successful one. Again and again, regarding the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should remember how birds and animals sometimes manifest their mercy to one another in an amazing ways. And now Let us consider that all this mercy is the result of a single part out of 100 parts of Allah's mercy. We can thus appreciate the extent of Allah's mercy, but we can't realize its extent, as this is beyond our imagination. All praise to you, our Lord, the Most Merciful. Actually, now I will tell you about a story which is related to the fact that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always around us, but we are not appreciating it. And we need always to remember this fact, all of us, we Muslims, we believers. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close, but we need to realize it, and we need to appreciate it and to feel it, because it will give all our spirits a feeling of security and hope. Now I will tell you inshallah about the story. Actually, this story is called the 500 years of worship. Jibril alayhi salam told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the following incidents about a man in the past who worshipped Allah continuously for 500 years. He was granted a shelter on top of a mountain that was surrounded by salty water. However, Allah caused a stream of sweet water to flow through the mountain for that individual. The man would drink from this water and use it to make wudu, ablution. Allah also raised a pomegranate tree from which the man would eat one fruit every day. One day the person supplied to Allah that, "O Allah, bring my death while I am in a state of prostration." Allah accepted this dua of him, and whenever Jibril came down to earth, he will find that man in prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibril said that on the day of judgment, Allah will tell the angels to take this person to paradise through Allah's mercy. However, this man will insist that he should enter the paradise through the good deeds that he had performed for 500 years. Then Allah will tell the angels to compare his good deeds with the blessing that were given to him in the world. It will be seen that 500 years of worship doesn't even equal to the gift of eyesight. that was given to him by Allah. The angels will be asked to take him to the hellfire. And then the man will bleed, "O Allah, enter me the paradise through your mercy." At that point, the following discussion will take place between Allah and that man. Allah will say to him, "O my servant, who created you?" The worshipper said, "O Allah, you have created me." Allah said, "Were you created from your good deeds, or you have done, were you created from your good deeds, which you have done, or because of my mercy?" The worshipper answered, "Because of your mercy." Allah said, "Who granted you the ability to worship for 500 years? The worshipper said, "The Almighty, you Allah, have granted me that ability." Allah said, "Who placed you on the mountain surrounded by the ocean? Who caused a stream of sweet water to flow between the salty water? Who caused a pomegranate tree to grow for you? Who granted you this while in a state of prostration, as you asked for?" The worshipper said, "O Allah, the sustainer of worlds, you granted me all of these." Then Allah will say, "All these have happened due to my mercy, and you will enter paradise only through my mercy." So, subhanAllah, sisters, the lessons from this surah is that, as we mentioned last week about the mercy of Allah, who created us and fashioned us in the best shape, made all the universe to serve us, made the mankind the master on the earth, granted us health, wealth, children, guidance and security, all these blessings are acts of Allah's worship. These realities were clarified also in this story. The sweet water, a fruit every day, the shelter, guidance, answering the dua, all are out of Allah's mercy, which we need to appreciate and thank Allah for it, so that Allah will keep it for us. Actually, from this story, there is no room for any Muslim to say, "I haven't feel Allah's mercy in my life." There is no room for this. Because having eyesight, having ear hearing, having legs walking, and all the blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us, is enough to say to Allah all the time, "All praise, O Allah, we are living in your mercy day and night and in every second in our life." From this story, every one of us has to realize that it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the health and to give us the food and to give us the mind to think and to give us the security and to give us the family and to give us the masjid and to give us the kids and the Muslim community and the good health and the spiritual health. Whatever we have in this life is only out of Allah's mercy. So we have all the time to live the blessings of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, every one of us must live the feeling that I am living in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all around me in my life. Because when you live this feeling, you will have a strong feeling of security, hope and reassurance and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, this is the real life of the spirit. The real life of the spirit, when the spirit feels secure regarding the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reassurance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can have this feeling when I look around me and I appreciate and I realize and I believe that, "Oh Allah, Allah, it is only your mercy is the source of my life and is the source of all the blessing I am living in." Accordingly, I will be the one to run to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He commanded me. I will be the one to submit myself totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I appreciate and I realize and I believe and I practice that all the blessings in my life is only out of the mercy of my Lord. Accordingly, I must submit myself totally to Him, thanking Him clarifying to him and to myself and to everyone that I am so happy and I am so appreciating that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses me to become a Muslim, chooses me to be a believer, guiding me to have this kind of knowledge, guiding me to come to the masjid, guiding me to live in his mercy. This is all out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We must also believe that entering the paradise, which is the greatest gift in life, is only out of Allah's mercy. None of our good deeds, even to worship Allah for 500 years, can make any one of us to enter the paradise. This fact has to be also clear in the spirit of every believer, so that we will not feel arrogant when we worship Allah in a good way for a few months. There are some Muslims, when they worship Allah in a good way for a few months, they become very arrogant and they always say, now I am sure that I will be in the paradise. No, my sister and my brother, you will never be in the paradise out of your good deeds, even if you worship Allah for 500 years. You will be in the paradise out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accordingly, we must remember this reality, and actually this reality, when we will realize it, it will make us always to appreciate the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and actually it will make us always to be very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he will test us with any hardship, we are true believers that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is around us. And this, inshallah, what I will prove now from the stories of the Quran. Actually, Muslim truly appreciates the significance of Allah's commitment to being merciful to his servants. The Muslim and the believer will experience a profound sense of reassurance, which remains with him even when he goes through periods of hardship and severe trials that are enough to turn people away from their Lord. A believer is certain that at every moment and in every situation and condition, Allah's mercy is present, and he is sure that it will be bestowed on him. He knows that his Lord does not put him to the test because he has abandoned him or denied him his mercy. Allah doesn't deny his mercy to anyone who sincerely hopes to receive it. It is a human being who deny themselves Allah's mercy when they disbelieve in him and reject his mercy. A believer reassurance that Allah's mercy is close at hand fills his heart with strength, hope, and comfort. He knows that he is in good, caring hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he enjoys the comfort of Allah's mercy as long as he doesn't go far astray. When a believer recognizes this fact, his sense of modesty in front of Allah is enhanced. Indeed, it makes a believer very shy in dealing with Allah the Most Merciful. Now, inshallah, we will learn about Allah's mercy at the time of trials and disasters, a mercy which Prophet Ibrahim found it when he was thrown in the fire. Prophet Joseph found it in the well where his brothers threw him, and later in the prison. Prophet Jonah found it in the whale's belly, under three covers of darkness. Moses found it in the river when he was a helpless infant, and also in Pharaoh's palace when Pharaoh sought to kill him. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion Abu Bakr found Allah's mercy in the cave of Mountain Tur, where they hide from their pursuers. Let us learn in details about some of these stories so that we always feel the mercy of Allah at the time of disasters, and also to have hope in him all the time. I will start, inshallah, with the story of Prophet Jacob And actually, first we will read from the Quran, from Surah Yusuf. Actually, we will read from Surah Yusuf, Surah number 12, read verse number 86 and 87 to know about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to Prophet Ya'qub, Prophet Jacob. Ar-Rahman Rahim, we will read now Surah number 12. We will read from verse 85, 86 and 87. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قالوا تالله تفتأ تذكر يوسف حتى تكون حرضا أو تكون من الهالكين قال إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون يا بني يذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله إنه لا ييأس من روح الله
They said, by Allah, you will never cease remembering Yusuf until you become weak with old age or until you be of the dead. He said, I only complain of my grief and sorrow to Allah, and I know from Allah that which you know not. O my sons, go you and inquire about Yusuf and his brother, and never give up hope of Allah's mercy. Certainly, one despairs of Allah's mercy except the people who disbelieve.
Actually, this is the story of Prophet Jacob, Prophet Ya'qub, and the loss of his two beloved sons. Actually, this is the story in the Quran clarifying that we need to place all hope in Allah's power and mercy, and to trust completely to His wisdom. Feeling the existence and the endless, feeling Allah's existence and His endless compassion. As we recite now from the Quran, we recite the words of Prophet Jacob, Prophet Ya'qub. Prophet Ya'qub with an old father who was tested by the loss of his beloved son Yusuf for many years. And then he was again tested by the love of Yusuf's younger brother, that is to say his youngest son. This prophet was tested by the loss of his two beloved sons, but out of his real belief in Allah's power and mercy, he never despaired of Allah's grace and Allah's kindness. In fact, adversity always enhances the faith and the trust of the believers in Allah's power and mercy. And because of that trust in the Lord, Prophet Jacob clarified to his son that he will never make any complaint to anyone except his Lord, the only power and will in life. This decision was based on the clear belief in the unity of Allah. Then Jacob instructed his sons to go back and seek information about their two younger brothers. Actually, this is the story of Prophet Yusuf and his brothers, whom they throw him in the well because they were very jealous about the love of the father to that son. But actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Yusuf to win and to become actually having a very important position in Egypt. And the whole story was clear again to those brothers whom actually the shaitan made them to make that plot against Prophet Yusuf. We are discussing today about the situation of the father whom he was an old man, Prophet Ya'qub, whom he loved Yusuf the most because he was the best mannered and the best, he was very close to the heart of the father, and actually he was tested by the loss of his son Yusuf again after many years. The father was tested by the loss of the other son, the youngest one, but out of this, Prophet Ya'qub never lost hope in Allah that he will find these two sons. For years and years and years, he was crying only to Allah, calling only to Allah. He never called on anyone. He never cried to anyone. He never say his problem to anyone. It was only a reality between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we are clarifying that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he said that I only complain of my grief and sorrow to Allah. This is in verse number 86, and I know from Allah that which you know not. This is, sisters, the attitude, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, of a person whose heart is aware of the truth of Godhead. And the reason for this decision is that believers are always in touch with Allah, enjoying His mercy, unshaken by distress or hardship, even though the circumstances may be very tough. Indeed, a believer finds in his faith and bond with his Lord a blessing that gives him reassurance even in the most difficult moment. Actually, he was only complaining to Allah because he believed that the only will is the will of Allah, and the only mercy is the mercy of Allah, and the matter is up to the word be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, he said, I know from Allah that which you know not. He knows the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because he knows about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he never despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he instructed his sons to go back and seek information about their two younger brothers. Actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to be sure of the reality of the belief in Allah's mercy, we need to know that Prophet Yaqub, out of Allah's mercy, he found his two sons. And they all lived together after these long years. Actually, these long years, Prophet Yaqub, he had a lot of pain, distress, and grief. But in spite of the pain and distress and grief for many, many years, he never lost the hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, sisters, let every one of us check herself. When you have a problem for a few days, do you still keep the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or immediately we despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We immediately say there is no hope for this problem to be solved. Oh Allah, where are you? Oh Allah, where is your mercy? Oh Allah, why you are not helping me? Oh Allah, this is too much for me. Oh Allah, I can't tolerate the problem anymore. After few days or maximum after few months. What about Prophet Yaqub, who lost his sons for years and years and years, but he never for a second lost the hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, sister, there is a very important point which I want you to realize it. When you live your life, you must expect that there will be disasters and trials, because life is a test. And regarding these disasters and life, the people will be differentiated into two categories. Those, the true believer, whom they have, they believe in Allah's mercy, their hearts will never be touched by grief or loss of hope. Why? Because they always have the belief that Allah's mercy is there. The belief that the problem will be solved. The belief that Allah is taking care of me. The belief that I am not alone. This kind of belief and feeling will make the years to pass while I'm still in very close relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While my bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is becoming more and more strong. And this is the best giving and the best gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all the years of hardship, they passed on Prophet Yaqub while he was in full patience in regarding the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was in full hope of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he got all the reward of the patience and the hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was still alive with a good belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, this is the test of the worldly life. In the worldly life, we have tests Allah is testing us with hardship and with a trial so that it will be clear who is the true believer in the will of Allah, who is the true believer in the mercy of Allah, who is the true believer that everything is up to Allah, and there is a wisdom behind that trial. And inshallah, one day, either today or tomorrow or after 10 years, inshallah, the problem will be solved and the trial will be finished, because this is Allah, the most merciful, the one who has the commitment to be merciful with all his servants. This is the goal of the trials in this worldly life, to clarify who are the patients whom they will be having the reward of their patience without account. The greatest blessing will be for those people whom they were patient in the worldly life regarding Allah's decree, hardship and trials. How I can be patient with Allah's decree and hardship and trials? Through the belief in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through having the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through believing that everything is up to Allah, the most merciful, and I am sure of His wisdom, and I am sure that Allah always decrees that good for the true believers. From that belief, I can be patient. I can accept the trial. I can try to be in a good mood and in a good health and having mental peace while I am living the most difficult trials. Because my belief is giving me the power. My belief is making me to have the connection with the One. And I am clarifying to the One, O Allah, I will never lose the hope in You, O Allah. I will never despair of Your mercy. Let the days pass, let the years pass, I will be more closer to You, I will worship You more better, I will submit myself to You in the best shape, because this is the way of my strength, and the way of my hope, and the way of my reassurance, that inshallah everything will be to the best according to Your mercy. And actually, this what happens to Prophet Yaqub. He was connected again with his family and with his two sons, and they live a life of happiness and pleasure. And actually, this is always what Allah keep for those whom they have the hope and trust in Allah's mercy. The second story of Allah's mercy at the time of distress is the story of Prophet Ibrahim, when he was thrown in the fire, and we will learn about it from Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah number 21, and we will read from verse 51 to verse 69. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد آتينا إبراهيم رشده من قبل وكنا به عالمين. إذ قال لأبيه وقومه ما هذه التماثيل التي أنتم لها عاكفون. قالوا وجدنا آباءنا لها عابدين. قال لقد كنتم أنتم وآباؤكم في ضلال مبين. قالوا أجئتنا بالحق أم أنت من اللاعبين. قال بل ربكم رب السماوات والأرض الذي فطرهن وأنا على ذلكم من الشاهدين. وتالله لأكيدن أصنامكم بعد أن تولوا مدبرين. فجعلهم جذاذا إلا كبيرا لهم لعلهم إليه يرجعون. قالوا من فعل هذا بآلهتنا إنه لمن الظالمين. قالوا سمعنا فتى يذكرهم يقال له إبراهيم. قالوا فأتوا به على أعين الناس لعلهم يشهدون. قالوا أأنت فعلت هذا بآلهتنا يا إبراهيم. قال بل فعله كبيرهم هذا فاسألوهم إن كانوا ينطقون. فرجعوا إلى أنفسهم فقالوا إنكم أنتم الظالمون. ثم نكسوا على رؤوسهم لقد علمت ما هؤلاء ينطقون. قال أفتعبدون من دون الله ما لا ينفعكم شيئا ولا يضركم. أُفٍّ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ Until verse 70.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And indeed, we bestowed effort time on Ibrahim, his portion of guidance, and we were all knower of him, as to his belief in the oneness of Allah. When he said to his father and his people, What are these images to which you are devoted? They said, We found our fathers worshipping them. He said, Indeed, you and your fathers have been in manifest error. They said, Have you brought us to the truth, or are you one of those who play about? He said, Nay, your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, who created them, and to that I am one of the witnesses. And by Allah I shall plot a plan to destroy your idols after you have gone away and turned your backs. So he broke them to pieces, all except the biggest of them, that they might turn to it. They said, Who has done this to our Aliyah, gods? He must indeed be one of the Zalimun, wrongdoers. They said, We heard a young man talking against them, who was called Ibrahim. They said, Then bring him before the eyes of the people, that they may testify. They said, Are you the one who has done this to our gods, O Ibrahim? Ibrahim said, Nay, this one, the biggest of them idols, did it. Ask them if they can speak. So they turned to themselves and said, Verily, you are the Zalimun, polytheist and wrongdoer. Then they turned to themselves, their first thought, and said, Indeed, you, Ibrahim, know well that these idols speak not. Ibrahim said, Do you then worship besides Allah things that neither profit you nor harm you? Fie upon you and upon that which you worship besides Allah. Have you then no sense? They said, Burn him and help your Allah gods if you will be doing. We, Allah, said, O fire, be you coolness and safety for Ibrahim. And they wanted to harm him, but we made them the worst losers.
Actually, this is the story of Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, who was still a young man when Allah bestowed on him the gift of knowing what is right. That is to say, the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accordingly, he objected to the worship of idols, and he destroyed all the idols when the chance presented itself to him. So the unbelievers cried, Burn him, destroy him totally and severely, because he destroyed their idols. But life is not run by words of people, nay and never. It is run by the will of the Most Merciful, who is always protecting and supporting His righteous servants. Accordingly, a different word, however, was also said. This was the supreme word that can never be countered. Fire be cool to Ibrahim and a source of inner peace to him. Subhanallah. So that, you know, sisters, we have always to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most Merciful, is showering the believers with His mercy all the time. So that we never fear and we never be upset or we never have any difficult feeling in our spirits. Allah's mercy is always there, and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only word which can never be countered. And the question will be, how is this possible? How the fire can be cool and a source of inner peace to Ibrahim? The answer is from the rules of the Quran, the rules of healing and mercy to the hearts of the believers. The first rule which can give us the answer for that statement, fire be cool and a source of inner peace, is from Surah number 36, verse number 82. Which we will recite it now. Surah number 36, verse number 82. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ
Verily, his command when he intends a thing is only that he say to it, be, and it is.
This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he wills a thing to be, he only says to it, be. And it was said to the fire, be, cool, and a source of inner peace, and it must be. Also, there is another verse from the Quran which is clarifying how the fire can be cool and a source of inner peace. It is verse number 2 from Surah number 35. Surah Fatir, verse number 2. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ما يفتح الله للناس من رحمة فلا ممسك لها وما يمسك فلا مرسل له من بعده وهو العزيز الحكيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Whatever of mercy, example of good, Allah may grant to mankind, none can withhold it. And whatever He may withhold, none can grant it thereafter. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise.
It is clear that this verse of Surah Fatir, verse number 2, Surah number 35, with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever a mercy Allah may grant to mankind, none can withhold it. Transforming the fire so that to give a Prophet Ibrahim coolness and inner peace is only one example of Allah's infinite ability to show mercy to whoever from His servants. Again and again, let every one of us remember and realize the following facts. Number one, the miracle of Allah's mercy can be subjected to human standards, as this mercy can change the nature of the objects. The fire, it loses its nature, and instead of being source of hotness and destruction, it becomes a source of goodness and peace. Subhanallah, actually, if we try, you know, to reflect on that fact, fire equal to hotness and destruction. Out of Allah's mercy, the fire becomes a source of coolness and peace. Okay? So, up to our standard, this is a miracle. Okay? But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not can't be subjected to our standard. This is the mercy and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, we need to know that this mercy always leads to results which are very effective and exceptional. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His servants with His mercy, there will be results. These results are always exceptional. Why exceptional? Because it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the case of Prophet Ibrahim, when the fire, which is the source of hotness and destruction and death, becomes the source of happiness and cool and reassurance. Subhanallah. You see, also we need to remember the words of Prophet Ibrahim, the words which he said when he was thrown in the fire. Okay, actually we will know about these words so that every one of us will say these words when he is in the time of disaster and trial, so that inshallah the mercy of Allah will be inshallah saving him. We will know about these words from Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, verse number 173. Actually the words is Rahman Rahim. I will read from the Quran in Arabic and in English because it is part of the surah. الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. Allah alone is sufficient for us and He is the best disposer of affairs. This is the words which Prophet Ibrahim said when he was thrown in the fire. Allah alone is sufficient for me, and He is the best disposer of affairs. As he said these words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said his word, fire be cool on Ibrahim and source of assurance to him. Okay, so every one of us sisters must learn these lessons from these stories of the Quran. There is nothing more difficult for a human being than to be thrown in the fire. Subhanallah. What is more difficult than this? Any problem which we are having in worldly life can't be compared with the situation of a man or a prophet whom he is supposed to be thrown in the fire, to be carried by the people and thrown in the fire. What is more difficult than this? This means death, total destruction, but death in the fire. You know, this is a source of severe punishment and pain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying, this is the mercy of the Qur'an. This is why the Qur'an is the source of mercy and healing and cure for the believers. Because when I recite these verses of the Qur'an, and when I learn about this story of Prophet Ibrahim regarding the fire, I will tell to myself, this is Allah's mercy, which He can change the nature of the fire and make it a source of coolness and reassurance. This is Allah's mercy, which He can save the human being from the most difficult disasters and trials. All the people of Prophet Ibrahim were against him, and they were about to, and they already throw him in the fire. What was the reaction of Prophet Ibrahim? Did he cry? Did he change his point of view? Did he say, no, I am very sorry, I will be an idol worshipper? Never. Prophet Ibrahim, out of the belief in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said one word, sufficient. Allah is sufficient for me, and He is the best disposer of affairs. Because, sisters, in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has the only will which He can control his life. If there was any hope for Prophet Ibrahim to be saved from the fire, it will be only through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the fire to be a source of coolness and reassurance. So Prophet Ibrahim was in contact with the only reality, the only will, the only mercy in this worldly life. Accordingly, he was saved by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lesson which we Muslims, we believers, must learn from this kind of stories. When you are in a trial, when you have hardship in your life, calm down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to have patience, wants you to feel His mercy, wants you to raise your hands to Him and to tell Him, oh Allah, I am your weak, poor servant, help me and support me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us with these trials so that we will become more closer to Him, so that we will feel His mercy more and more, so that we will have a bond with Him at the time of trials, which will be always the source of reassurance for us all the time. Accordingly, when I live a trial, I must be aware, Mona, wake up, you are not alone. The mercy of Allah is so close to you. Remember the story of Prophet Ibrahim. Remember the story of Prophet Yaqub, who lost his sons for more. Prophet Yusuf, he lost his son, Prophet Yusuf, for more than 15 years, but he never lost hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one day or in one minute. So I have to remind myself, and every one of you has to remind himself and herself, that the mercy of Allah is very close. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to our dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can change the trial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can solve the problem, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has the mercy out of His will to save us. So we must be all the time, sisters, keeping this feeling inside our spirits at the time of trials. Trials are not to destroy me. Trials are not to take me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trials are not to make me despair of Allah's mercy. No, opposite. Trials are there to make me more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make me to feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make me to do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make me to be one of those whom they wake up at night to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he come down at the last third of the night, and Allah is saying, who is looking for answering his dua, and who is looking for my forgiveness. So actually trials in the worldly life must be the way to feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, sisters, when you will be the one at the time of trial to say Allah is sufficient for me and he is the best disposer of affairs, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you to be showered with his mercy, and actually you will feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also inshallah you get the benefit of the trial that you were patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you will have a great reward. And the number two, during the trial I have the proof I lived, so that when you tell me, Sister Mona, you have a trial now, for example, in your life, what is your feeling? I tell you my feeling that inshallah the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close to me. I always say, sisters, Allah is sufficient for me and he is the best disposer of my affairs. You know why, sister? Because I lived before trials, and during the trials I was so close to Allah. I was doing dua to him day and night. I was praying more better. I was giving charity more better. I was all the time trying to submit myself to the commands of Allah in the best shape. And can you imagine, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solve my trial in a very exceptional and effective way. Since then, the trials for me are the way to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The trials for me are the way to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The trial for me is the way to be sure that the hope is only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And out of the trials, always inshallah, I get the reward of the patient. I get more connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I promise Allah during the time of the trials that so long as, oh Allah, I am close to you and I enjoy the bond with you during the time of trials, even when the trial will be finished, out of your mercy, I will also, at the time of ease, I will always keep my relation with you, oh Allah, the same, and I will always be submitting myself to you the maximum, O Allah, at the time of ease, because actually feeling the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the feeling and the only feeling which gives the spirit the reassurance, the happiness and the tranquility which the spirit can live with it. So actually, sisters, it is the duty of every one of us to remember about events in our lives when we were touched by Allah's mercy at the time of hardship and difficulties. It is the great mercy of Allah to make us to remember these events and to feel and to realize that we were saved only through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A feeling which makes the spirits to feel that inshallah there is always a solution for every problem, and this solution is up to the most merciful. It is always the feeling that we are showered with Allah's mercy all the time. In spite of having a trial, still we are all living in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accordingly, we are never supposed to despair of Allah's mercy because of one trial, because out of this trial, besides this trial, you have a lot of blessing, countless blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are out of his mercy. Also, we have to be all the time having the feeling of hope, trust and expectation that as Allah saved us from the previous difficulties, inshallah it will be Allah's mercy to save us from all difficulties today, tomorrow and in every time and in every place. O our Lord, we have all the hope in you. We have the trust and the reassurance that your mercy is close in hand and every hardship will be eased, inshallah. Next week, inshallah, other stories from the Quran and from life about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which can make exceptional and effective results in the life of the true believers, so that inshallah we all live the feeling of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the feeling which is the source of the happiness, tranquility and being content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah now we will make the dua. We find the dua which I mentioned now, inshallah, in art is related to calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower us with His mercy, which will make all the aspects of our life in the best shape, inshallah. I will say the dua in Arabic, and inshallah, I will try to find it in English from next week, inshallah. Let us now say the dua. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك رحمة من عندك تهدي بها قلوبنا وتجمع بها شملنا وتلم بها شعثنا وترد بها الفتن عنا وتحفظ بها غائبنا وترفع بها شاهدنا وتزكي بها أعمالنا وتحفظنا بها اللهم من كل سوء اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام والعزة التي لا ترام نسألك يا الله يا رحمن أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا ونور صدورنا وجلاء همومنا وذهاب أحزاننا اللهم علمنا منه ما جهلنا وذكرنا منه ما نسينا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وأطراف النهار على الوجه الذي يرضيك عنا ربنا اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم لا تجعل لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها لنا برحمتك أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارحمنا والدينا والمسلمين يوم يقوم الحساب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.